हरे हे सहना सहना सहेयंगेजस्वी नमस्कृषावे ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे।
So remember that Janamejaya, then he came to maturity, he was married to Vapushtama, and both of them were very happy together. And then we come to section 45. Meanwhile, the great ascetic Jarakaru wandered over the whole earth, making the place where evening fell his home for the night. And gifted with ascetic power, he roamed, practicing various vows difficult to be practiced by the immature, and bathing also in various sacred rivers. And the Muni had air alone for his food, and was free from desire of worldly enjoyment. And he became daily emaciated and grew lean fleshed. And one day he saw the spirits of his ancestors, heads down in a hole, by a cord of Virana roots, having only one thread entire. And that even single thread was being gradually eaten away by a large wet rat dwelling in that hole. And the Pitris in that hole were without food, emaciated, pitiable, and eagerly desirous of salvation. And Jarakaro approached the pitiable one, himself in a humble guise, asked them, "Who are ye hanging by this cord of Virana roots? The single weak root that is still left in this cord of Virana roots, already eaten away by the rat, dwelling in this hole, is itself being gradually eaten away by the same rat with its sharp teeth. The little that remains of that single thread will soon be cut away. It is clear ye shall then have to fall down into this pit with faces downward. Seeing you with faces downward and overtaken by this great calamity, my pity hath been excited. What good can I do to you? Tell me quickly whether this calamity can be averted by a fourth, a third, or even by the sacrifice of half of this my asceticism. Or relieve yourselves even with the whole of my asceticism. I consent to all this. Do as you please." Right, so he's met the forefathers. He doesn't at this point know they're the forefathers. And he's seeing their condition, and that's awakening his pity for them. And he's saying that, "I'll give you a quarter or a third or even half or even whole, all of his asceticism, if that will save you, save them from the problem that's there." The Pitri said, "Venerable Brahmacharin, thou desirest to relieve us. But O foremost of Brahmanas, thou canst not dispel our affliction by thy asceticism. O child, O first of speakers, we too have the fruits of our asceticism. But, O Brahmana, it is for the loss of children that we are falling down into this unholy hell. The grandsire himself hath said that a son is a great merit, and we are about to be cast into this hole. Our ideas are no longer clear. Therefore, O child, we know thee not, although thy manhood is well known on earth. Venerable thou art and of good fortune, thou who thus from kindness grievest for us, worthy of pity and greatly afflicted. O Brahmana, listen, who we are. We are rishis of the Yayavara sect of rigid vows. And, O Muni, from loss of children we have fallen down from a sacred region. Our severe penances have not been destroyed. We have a thread yet. We have only one thread now. It matters little, however, whether he is or is not. And fortunate as we are, we have a thread in one known as Jarakaru. Right? In other words, that rope was all their ancestors. Right? But all that's left is Jarakaru, so he's the one thread. And that's being eaten away because, as we remember from previous telling of this, he was quite old. And he was not interested in, you know, getting married or anything like that. The unfortunate one has gone through the Vedas and their branches and is practicing asceticism alone. He, being one with soul under complete control, desires set high, observant of vows, deeply engaged in ascetic penances and free from greed for the merits of asceticism. We have been reduced to this despicable state, deplorable state. He hath no wife, no son, no relatives. Therefore do we hang in this hole. Our consciousness lost, like men having none to take care of them. If thou meetest him, O tell him from thy kindness to ourselves. Thy Petris in sorrow are hanging with faces downwards in a hole. Holy One, take a wife and beget children. O thou of ascetic wealth, thou art, O amiable one, the only thread that remaineth in the line of thy ancestors. O Brahmana, the cord of Virana roots that thou seest we are hanging by is the cord representing our multiplied race. And O Brahmana, these threads of the cord of Virana roots that thou seest as eaten away are ourselves who have been eaten up by time. This root thou seest hath been half eaten, and by which we are hanging in this hole is he that hath adopted asceticism alone. The rat that thou beholdest is time of infinite strength. Right? He's telling what all these different things that he's seeing. And he, time, is gradually weakening the wretch Jarakaru engaged in ascetic penances, tempted by the merits thereof, but wanting in prudence and heart. O excellent one, his asceticism cannot save us. Behold our roots being torn, cast down from higher regions, deprived of consciousness by time. We are going downwards like sinful wretches, and upon our going down into this hole with all our relatives, eaten up by time, even he shall sink with us into hell. O child, whether it is asceticism or sacrifice of whatever else there be of very holy acts, everything is inferior. These cannot count with the sun. O child, having seen all, speak unto that Jarakaru of ascetic wealth. Thou shouldest tell us him in detail everything that thou hast beheld. And, O Brahmana, from thy kindness towards us, thou shalt tell him all that would induce him to take a wife and beget children. Amongst his friends, or of our own race, who art thou, O excellent one, and that thus grievest for us like a friend? We wish to hear who thou art that stayest here. All right, so we can see here these systems that are there in the Vedas, they give very good results, but it's not without risk, right? Everything in the world has a risk. If you want something, you want a result of something, then risk is always there, right? Does that make some sense? Now, it's a matter of what is that risk, you know, but depending upon what your gain is, then you have to look at what is the risk and see whether it's worth it, right? So here is, they perform their penances of austerities, they've gone to the heavenly planets, right, the Pitri Loka, and they're enjoying there. But the problem is that their staying there is completely dependent on future generations that you have absolutely no control over. Right? Means you can do your best that you give to your own children the idea that the vows and everything that you follow. Right? And then because of that, then that culture may continue, right? But as we see around us, how hard it is for people present now to give their own values to their directly their own children. Right? Does that make sense? Right? Then let alone children a few generations down, right? Because you're obliged that the son, the father, the grandfather, the great-grandfather, those four are connected through this Shraddha rites. So that means great-grandfather, that means his son, and then his son. Three generations later, people have enough problem getting their own the next generation that they are directly involved with to follow, let alone two generations later that they have no control over. You see, see the risk? Right? So it's very dependent upon so many other factors that everybody else is also, you know, follows the same culture, the same values are going on, all these things. Does that make sense? It's very risky. Right? And what you're going, so therefore your material pleasure is going to depend upon those persons doing the Shraddha rites. Does that make sense? So that's why it's saying you've done sacrifice, you've done austerity, you've done charity. Those have no equivalent to having a son, right? If you're a Karmakandi. Because you've done your austerities in that. They have their austerities, they haven't lost their austerities. Right? But they can't remain in Pitri Loka because they don't. There's no great grandson who's doing Shraddha rites. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah? So, therefore, that's why the intelligent in the Upanishads, which is for those who are interested in knowledge, then they say that this whole system of Karmakanda is basically useless. Because even though it's seemingly you're going to enjoy, the risks are so great. You know what I'm saying? And even then, it's temporary anyway. Right? There's temporary pleasure, and the risks that it's even going to continue, that you're going to get it, even though you've done everything to get to the heavenly planets, whether you'll be able to maintain there. Does that make sense? Yes.
So they can stay in Pitri Loka as long as there's someone doing the Shraddha rites.
Yes, up to the fourth generation.
So after the fourth generation, then?
After the fourth generation, I'm not sure, because generally what they try to do is do offerings that give unlimited results. Right? Yeah, unlimited means you're going to be there 10,000 years anyway. That's how much time you get. You know? It means it mentions, like in the Gita, go to the moon planet for 10,000 years. So the moon planet and the Pitri Loka are connected. So it's not that long. It's a short time. You know, so, you know, 10,000 means, you know, that's a long time for us. You live for 100 years, you know, but if you say you live for 10,000, that's 100 times that. So that's like unlimited. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's say you're having a good time, right? And, you know, your mother says, okay, time to stop and go to bed. Yeah, oh, no, just a little bit more, right? Just a little bit more to you is like as if it's forever, no? Does that make sense? So that's the mentality, because you're in the enjoying mood, therefore 100 times normal lifespan seems forever. But if you really think about it, it's only 100 times more, then it's over. Right? So you'll enjoy that, but then it's finished. Right? Does that make sense? So then, what the jnanis are saying, therefore why go with that when you could get eternal happiness? Right? The other is unlimited happiness, means 10,000 years. And the other is saying eternal happiness, which means a long time in the Brahman. You know, it's like, you know, probably a few lifetimes of Brahma. But still, that's temporary. Right? And then, but devotees, then the point is real liberation, real unlimited or limitless happiness is going back to the spiritual world. Does that make sense? Like that. It's the easiest, no risk, right? And it gives the best result, right? So what would you think? Okay, here we have three options, right? One option where you could get 10,000 years of happiness, but there's a big risk that it may not work, right? Then you have one where you can have a happiness of not having any pain, right? for some lifetimes of Brahma, and then you'll come back in the material world, be born as a blade of grass or something like that. Right? Or you chant Hare Krishna, take prasadam, right? Not a bad program. And then go back to Godhead eternally. Right? And you're with God, and the happiness there is always getting more and more and more. Right? So if you're actually from an unbiased, platform of intelligence, which of these three actually sounds better? Third. Third. Anyone else? Third, sure. Not the second, first.
First.
That understood? Yeah? So this is pointing out, one, for those who are on karmakanda, then they learn from here is, doesn't matter what else you do, most important thing is get married, have a son, right? That's why you see these various kings and that were having so much problem wanting the son, right? One for the Shraddha rites, two to carry on the kingdom, right? So that, to carry on the ancestry and to carry on the kingdom. But for the devotees, then we see these things and we learn, oh, this is not something to get involved in, right? Just like the karmis, you see them, see how much they suffer, see the problems, and you think, why get involved? Right? Yes.
And on the Pitruvaka, do they perceive that she is 10,000 years or 100 years?
100 years, but that's not mentioned in these shastras. That's mentioned in the Upanishads. That's the point, is that it means you can't tell everything, otherwise no one would do anything, right? It means the person's interested in sense gratification, so you tell him enough to get him inspired. You're not telling any lies, because he's seeing everything from his perspective here anyway. So you say you'll be there 10,000 years or 100,000 years or whatever it is that is the particular planet you're going to. So they're inspired, so they'll work, because it's like, if I can get the happiness of that, then it's worth doing austerity, charity, and penance here. Right? And so they'll be a nice, pious, good person. Then, they'll make that endeavor. But if they learn that we could get that, but it's only equal to 100 years and this and that, and so therefore, why should I try? I'm enjoying here for 100 years, so I'll enjoy my perception there 100 years, so it's a difference, so I'll enjoy now, so they won't bother to follow any rules. Does that make sense? So better they're following rules, because in following the rules and the karmakanda, because in all of them, you generally have to associate with other saintly persons, right? If you're doing a yajna, then you have priests or a saintly, and generally other saintly persons come to the yajna. Charity, you're giving charity to saintly persons, right? Austerity, then generally you'll, under their direction or in the association of other saintly persons, you'll do austerity. So now, by chance, even though it's not actually your purpose, you might meet a devotee, right? And then that devotee might tell you about devotional service. And then even though your interest is karma, then you might learn about this. So that's the whole point of the system, is that even though you're a materialist, but there's an option that you might bump into devotees. Does that make some sense? Yeah, so that's the kind of like the hope, is that that might happen. If it doesn't happen, then tough luck, right? Because it's only when the jiva really wants to know the actual, then only then they'll get that association. Yeah? Any other questions on that? Sauti said, this is 46. Sauti said, Jarakaro, hearing all this, became excessively dejected, and from sorrow he spoke under those petries in words obstructed by tears. Right? Because he just figured out that I am that one strand of the Virana root. Oh, do we understand why it's so, even though he's so austere and he's a brahmachari, why he needs to get married? Right? Because we say if someone's a brahmachari, there's no need to get married. Right? They don't have to do any of these kind of duties. So why is this the opposite?
Learning about the
goal. Yeah, the goal. right? You understand? What did you say?
Because
he's not going back. Yeah, because his goal is to enjoy sense gratification. Though not here, there. Right? So then, since that's his point, he wants to enjoy, then he has to be making arrangements for others to enjoy, right? Just like a grihastha makes money, right? So that's shared. Or he has food, that's shared. You understand? In other words, if you have facility for sense enjoyment, you have to share it. If you don't have facility for sense enjoyment, there's no need. Does that make sense? It's practical. You have money, you share. You don't have money, you don't have to share. You're not obliged to get money to share. Right? But so he wants to enjoy sense gratification. That means then the facility for that and all has to be shared. So then he's done his austerities, that'll get him the heavenly planets, but to stay there, then he has to have a son who will keep the others there. Does that make sense? Like that. But if you're going back to Godhead, means you have no goal in the material world, therefore you have no obligation in the material world. Right? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Right? But that doesn't mean that one's callous and saying that is involved in the material world, but ignoring one's obligations. Right? It means one's not involved, therefore one has no obligations. But if one is involved, then there are obligations. You know, it's quite simple. And Jarakaru said, "Ye are even my fathers and grandfathers gone before. Therefore tell me, what must I do for your welfare? I am that sinful son of yours, Jarakaru. Punish me for my sinful deeds, a wretch that I am." The Pitris replied, saying, "O son, by good luck hast thou arrived at this spot in course of thy rambles. O Brahmana, why hast thou not taken a wife?" Jarakaru said, "Ye Pitris, this desire hath always existed in my heart, that I would, with vital seed drawn up, carry this body to the other world. My mind hath been possessed with the idea I would not take a wife." Right? You know, because just, it's austerities means, because if someone's a brahmachari their whole life, right, and keeps their seed, never loses it, just that, nothing else, the next life they'll go to Brahmaloka, right, the top close of all the planets, just that much, right? They remain a brahmachari, don't pass seven their whole life, they'll go to Brahmaloka, just for that. They don't need any other austerity. No standing on their head, you know, like that, or, you know, no living off of air. So he's doing that, plus living off of air, plus not keeping a residence and only wandering. So he's expecting to get some really good results, right? But he forgets that you have to pay for those good results, right? It's not just the austerities, you know? Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you want to, how you say? You want to enjoy a big fancy meal, so you know you get a big hall and everything, and have a big banquet and everything like that. But you forget you have to pay. You have to pay for the hall also. You know, you think you're just going to get the sense gratification, but you have to pay for the hall. So you're going to the. You get there, but you have to pay to be there. Does that make sense? So nothing's free. Does that make sense? But ye grandsires, having seen you hanging like birds, I have diverted my mind from the brahmacharya mode of life. I will truly do what you like. I will certainly marry, even if I meet with a maiden of my own name. I shall accept her who, bestowing herself of her own accord, will be as alms unto me. Right? In other words, I'll accept a girl with the same name as me. That means she's austere like me. That comes of her accord. I don't have to approach her. Right? And whom I shall not have to maintain. Okay? And he won't have to take care of her. Right? So a girl with the same name that approaches him, that is taken care of by someone else. Good luck, guys, if that's your idea. Yeah, pushing it a bit, but hey, you know, might as well shoot for the stars, you know. I shall marry if I get such a one, otherwise I shall not. This is the truth, ye grandsires, and the offspring that will be begot upon her shall be your salvation. And ye Petries of mine, ye shall live forever in blessedness and without fear, right? Forever, right? That's the thing. That's their thing, because so even though they're so qualified, they're not actually that intelligent. You understand? So real intelligence means to actually see how they are in connection with Maya and Krishna, right? Knowledge means chit achit ishwara, right? Chit meaning what is spirit, means the Lord and the jiva. Or let's say here, chit meaning the jiva or spirit, achit meaning the material world, and ishwara meaning God, right? These three. That's sambandha gyan. That's knowledge. You know these. So here is very qualified person, but he doesn't know this. Right? He seems to know chit and achit to some degree, but doesn't seem to know Ishwara. Right? Sauti continued, the Muni, having said so under the Petries, wandered over the earth again, and O Saunaka, being old, he obtained no wife, right? Because they have to approach him, right? So it's not that the girls are sitting around and checking out the old wrinkles, you know, like that. You know, wow, check out that old wrinkle. You know, wow, check out the cane. Cool. Wow, you know, so, okay. And he grieved much that he was not successful, but directed as before by his ancestors, he continued the search. And going into the forest, he wept loudly in great grief, and having gone into the forest, the wise one, moved by the desire of doing good to his ancestors, said, I will ask for a bride, distinctly repeating these words thrice, right? Because before he said, without asking, right? So now he says, okay, I'll ask, you know? And then, as you remember before, is then Vasuki was waiting when he'll ask, because then he'll know he will accept. Because otherwise he may go, maybe he'll accept, maybe he won't. Right? But now he's desperate, so he will accept. So then, you know, it's good. Therefore, waiting for the right moment is always important. And he said, whatever creatures are here, mobile and immobile, so whoever there be that are invisible, oh, hear my words. My ancestors, afflicted with grief, have directed me that am engaged in the most severe penances, saying, marry thou for the acquisition of a son. O ye, being directed by my ancestors, I am roaming in poverty and sorrow over the wide world for wedding a maiden, that I may obtain as alms. Let that creature amongst those I have addressed, who hath a daughter, bestow on me that am roaming far and near, such a bride as is of same name with me, to be bestowed on me as alms, and whom besides I shall not maintain, O bestow on me. Then those snakes that hath been set upon Jarkaru track ascertained his inclination, gave information to Vasuki. And the king of snakes, hearing their words, took with him that maiden decked with ornaments and went into the forest unto that rishi. Because the girl, he says, given as alms. So when the girl is given as alms, means she's given dressed with all kinds of nice ornaments. Right? That's part of the ritual. And O Brahmana, Vasuki, the king of snakes, having gone there, offered that maiden as alms unto that high-souled rishi. But the rishi did not at once accept her. And the rishi, thinking her not to be of the same name with himself, and seeing that the question of her maintenance was also unsettled, reflected for a few moments, hesitating to accept her. And then, O son of Bhrigu, he asked Vasuki, the maiden's name, and also said unto him, I shall not maintain her. Right? So this is why Vasuki was waiting for the right moment, because he had to be desperate to make sure that, you know, he's going to believe and everything's going to work. Section 47. Sauti then said, Vasuki spake unto the rishi Jarakaru these words, O best of brahmanas, this maiden is of the same name with thee. She is my sister and hath ascetic merit. I shall maintain thy wife, accept her. O thou of ascetic wealth, means someone else can maintain. See, this is a very delicate point. This is very important to understand. See, a woman has her wealth, right? Means wealth that is given to her at her marriage or given by friends and relatives out of affection, right? That's considered a woman's wealth, right? So a man never lives off of a woman's wealth, right? Now he's saying she should be maintained and he won't take care. So that means what she's getting is her wealth. Right? So then the question, well, how would he be maintained there? Does this make sense? So then the point is it's her wealth. So if she wants to use her wealth in the service of her husband, that she's free to do. But that's her decision. You understand? The husband can't decide to take that wealth on his own and use it as he pleases. That doesn't mean, you know, he can't come and sit in the chair and this and that. It means he can't decide he's going to sell the furniture and use the money for something else and like that, because it's hers. Right? It's just not done. Does that make sense? But she can use it for him, and he can be comfortable that that's what she wants, and so he can enjoy those facilities. Does that make sense? You know, because a woman always has something, right? And whatever she has, she shares, right? And she expects whatever the husband has, he'll share, right? Right? Difference, of course, being is what she has is hers, and what he has is hers. Like that, you know. Isn't it, right? Isn't that the saying? What's mine is mine, what's yours is mine, right? You know. Like that, so you know, this does have a source, an origin. Does that make sense? So it's very important to understand this, because otherwise, what's happened is the man thinks, well, being the lord of the woman, therefore, whatever she has is his. Technically, yes. No, he has her; she has her wealth. Right. So having her means it comes; she comes with her wealth, but it's not directly his. Right. Does that make sense? So if he thinks it's directly his, there's a problem. Right? But there's no problem in using it that she is, you know, wants to share it with him. Right? Does that make sense? So at the same time as then he should not think that, oh, because she has all this and I'm, you know, living on her facilities, then, you know, he is less, you know, of a husband or like this. It's relationship. She's not seeing it as the protector and the controller as the man does. The man thinks I'm sharing facilities because I'm the protector. Does that make sense? Well, the wife is sharing facilities because it's hers and she wants to share it with the husband. Right? Does that make sense? So share it as equals. Well, the man sharing is generally as superior. Does that make sense? So he will consider that that's what's happening in relationship to the wife sharing, but it's different. Does that make sense? Yes.
Why were his conditions so extreme to begin with when he held this thing?
Why would his conditions be so extreme? Good question. But it would appear. That it would be in line with his austerities, that everything he does is extreme. Therefore, there's a certain taste to extremity. So therefore, it would be something to work with, you know? I mean, he's already put himself in that intense of an environment, you know, where whatever he does is so austere and so extreme, so then it would be in character that his conditions would be such also, right? You would think, though, he would be a little bit more liberal, but I guess he had faith that it would work. You know, otherwise, I'm sure he wouldn't have taken it, because he wanted the good of his superiors. But I guess, you know, I mean, when you're dealing on the mundane platform, there is a bit of ego involved, right? And ego then always gives you trouble, as we are seeing here. He's getting trouble. The Petries are getting trouble because of his, you know, that you know, I'm a great brahmachari, and now he's getting trouble because of his own, you know, how you say, conditions. Does that make sense? Right? Difference is, one could say, well, devotees also get trouble. Right? But that trouble is for Krishna. Does that make sense? These other troubles are for oneself. So, taking trouble for someone else is always considered better. That's sacrifice. Right? But taking trouble for yourself, you could say that's austere, you know, it's, you know, great penance, all these different things, but technically it's not sacrifice. Right? So that means technically a karmakanda yajna is not sacrifice, because you're doing it for yourself. Right? Ultimately. There is some element, I'm going, doing through all this trouble, and therefore I'm doing a yajna, and the demigods are pleased, so you could say, technically on one point, that it's sacrifice. Right? But ultimately, really, it's not sacrifice, because you're ultimately doing it for yourself. Though you're willing, you're pious, so you're willing to take care of everybody else in the process. Does that make sense? You're not so selfish that you want everything yourself and not willing to share. But here is, you're willing to share. Anybody who will help, you're willing to share with. Does that make sense? But it's not the same as devotion, where that's not one's purpose. Section 27. Saunti said, then Vasuki spake, these words, O best of brahmanas, this maiden is of the same name with thee. She is my sister and hath ascetic merit. I will maintain thy wife, accept her, O thou of ascetic wealth. I shall protect her with all my ability. And, O foremost of great munis, she hath been reared by me for thee. Right? Notice here is a very important connection here. I shall not maintain her. I shall maintain thy wife. Right? I shall protect her with all my ability. Right? He didn't say you protect her. He said you maintain her. Right? So, we see some connection here. Maintenance means protection. Protection means maintenance. Right? So that means protection means maintaining all of their status, right? The particular wealth that they need, the particular facilities that they need, the particular social status that they need. Right? Does that make sense? Just like this. A girl, she walks down the road alone. And have we not seen that the, you know, local boys then, you know, look at her and try to talk and stuff like that? Yes? No? Yes. Like that? We're putting this in third person just so that nobody gets embarrassed, right? That makes sense? So that means she's been dropped from some girl that is something special to something common that's on the street that's a commodity. Does that make sense? Right? I have a valuable gem. I keep it, you know, in the house. Nobody sees it. Right? So it's not available to purchase. If I want to sell something, I put it out on the street. Right? You go to the shops, it's in the window. You can see it. Right? Does that make sense? So, therefore, by her having to experience that means that her status is being dropped. Does that make sense? Yes? No?
Yes.
That's why, one, cultured boys don't do that, because it's insulting to girls. And two, that's why people who are taking care of them never let them walk alone. Does that make sense? You just say, oh, it's just this close, it's not very far, what could happen? So many things can happen. Right? So that's the sacrifice that you're making, even though it's a trouble, you're taking the trouble to make sure that the girl's dignity is maintained. So that means you're going yourself or someone else is going, but somebody is there to make sure that nobody gives them any trouble. Does that make sense? Right? Does that make sense? And in the converse, just as a side point, is if something is available on the street and is common, why would one want to take that girl as a wife? Right? You know what I'm saying? Something so common is not going to function well in the house. Because they only know how to function on the street. They don't know how to function in the house. Does that make sense? Right? Why are they on the street? Because they're bored in the house. Think about it. Right? Wife stays in the house with the husband, takes care of the things there, has the family there, and then even if she's moving, she would be moving from her house to another relative's or friend's house with husband or relatives or friends. Right? And that means she's comfortable in the house. That means she's comfortable as a grihastha. Right? And that's the whole idea of getting married, right? Now, if she's out on the street, that means she's not comfortable in the house. She's bored in the house. So if she's bored in the house now, why after marriage she still won't be bored in the house? Does that make sense? Right? You go to the shop and there's a mango. Right? You buy the mango. Does that mean after you buy it, it's going to stop being a mango and turn into, you know, a pineapple or something? No, it's going to be her. So you find a girl on the street means she's a street girl. And when you take her home, she's still going to be a street girl. Does that make sense? Very important points, right? Street girls have their place in society, right? They do public functions. They dance in public for people. They do all kinds of things. We see when we talk about Dwarka and other things, the society girls, they come out. And everybody's happy. They look very beautiful. They're very attractive. They do all kinds of nice things in public that others won't do. So it's necessary. But they aren't the ones you marry. Does that make sense? Right? Important. Therefore, no need to be out on the street checking out the girls. Does that make sense? I will maintain thy wife, accept her, O thou of ascetic wealth. I shall protect her with all my ability. And, O foremost of the great Munis, she hath been reared by me for thee. Right? So he's saying that I have raised her simply to be your wife. Right? The Rishi replied, this is agreed between us that I shall not maintain her, and she shall not do aught that I do not like. If she do, I will leave her. Right? Here now is another. Or she'll do what pleases me, and if she doesn't, I leave. You know? Like that. Because basically speaking, here is you have a guy who's absolutely not interested in household life, and only for the forefathers he's getting married, right? Like that. So he's making it as easy for himself as possible. But the point is here when he says he'll leave, means he'll leave permanently. Not that he'll leave this girl and go find another one that seeming will do what he likes. Does that make sense? So this is not something. The point is here is that leaving a woman means leaving women, not leaving that woman. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Sauti continued, when the snake had promised, saying, I shall maintain my sister, Jarakaru then went to the snake's house. Then that first of mantra-knowing Brahmins, observing rigid vows, that virtuous and venerant ascetic, took her hand, presented to him according to Shastric rites. Right, so they had the marriage ceremony. And taking his bride with him, adored by the great Rishi, he entered the delightful chamber set apart for him by the king of snakes. And in that chamber was a bedstead covered with very valuable coverlets. And Jarakaru lived there with his wife. And the excellent Rishi made an agreement with his wife, saying, "Nothing must ever be done or said by thee that is against my liking. In case of thy doing any such thing, I will leave thee and no longer continue to stay in thy house. Bear in mind these words that have been spoken by me." Right? So someone who's been a lifelong Udvarita brahmachari, right, that, and has, you know, then could possibly say these things. But no one else should think that this is what they can say. Yeah. Because at this point he didn't want to be there in the first place. Right? And then the sister of the king of snakes, in great anxiety and grieving exceedingly, spoke unto him, saying, "Be it so." Right? So it wasn't a pleasant agreement for her. And moved by the desire of doing good to her relatives, that damsel of unsullied reputation began to attend upon her lord with the wakefulness of a dog, the timidity of a deer, and the knowledge of signs possessed by a crow. Okay, so these are the ways in which one should render service, right? So means these things are anything that you see is taken generally for one in this group applies to the other, because the common element is servant. So this is also how brahmachari serves, this is how a devotee serves, right? Anytime you're assisting, then these are their wakefulness of a dog, right? Means a dog is asleep, right? But as soon as it's awoken, it's fully conscious, right? You never see a drowsy dog, isn't it? They're just always fully there, or they just lie down and go to sleep. Right? So the wakefulness of a dog means always completely attentive to what's going on. Right? Timidity of a deer means deers are very, you know, gentle and that, and they're unassuming, so they don't, you know, there's no attitude, no ego, all these different things like that. Does that make sense? And possessing knowledge of signs possessed by the crow. Right? So the crow is watching everything, right? And so it can see even the subtlest things and figure out what's going on. Right? So that's very, very important. Right? Does that make sense? Is that one is able to see those things and then make it work. Yeah? And one day after her period of contamination, the sister of Vasuki, having purified herself by a bath according to custom, approached her lord, the great Muni, and thereupon she conceived. And the embryo was like unto a flame of fire, possessed of great energy and resplendent as fire itself. And it grew like the moon in the bright fortnight. Right? The bright fortnight means when it's going towards, full moon. Right? And one day, within a short time, Jarakaro of great fame, placing his head on the lap of his wife, slept, looking like one fatigued. And as he was sleeping, the sun entered its chambers in the western mountain and was about to set. Right? It means in the evening twilight. And O Brahmana, as the day was fading, she, the excellent sister of Vasuki, became thoughtful, fearing the loss of her husband's virtue. And she thought, "What should I do? What should I now do? Shall I wake my husband or not? He is exacting and punctilious. Punctual? Yeah, must mean something very, you know, exacting and, you know, just perfectly on time. Oh, yeah, and time with a religious duty. So that's why she'd be worried that he's always on time, but now the time for chanting the evening Gayatri has come and he's sleeping. Punctilious. I like it. How can I act as not to offend him? The alternatives are his anger and the loss of virtue of a virtuous man. The loss of virtue, I ween, is the greater of the two evils. Right? So in other words, she's caring for him that he could get angry, but his loss of virtue is worse. So therefore, for his benefit, the loss of virtue she sees as the lesser of the two evils. Again, if I wake him, he will be angry, but if the twilight passeth away without his prayers being said, he shall certainly sustained loss of virtue. And having resolved at last the sweet speech Jarakaru, the sister of Vasuki spake softly unto that rishi, resplendent with ascetic penances, and laying prostrate like a flame of fire. O thou of good fortune, awake, the sun is setting. O thou of rigid vows, O illustrious one, do your evening prayer after purifying yourself with water and uttering the name of Vishnu. The time for the evening sacrifice hath come. Twilight, O Lord, is even now gently covering the western side. The illustrious Jarakaru of great ascetic merit, thus addressed, spake unto his wife these words, his upper lip quivering in anger. O amiable one of the Naga race, thou hast insulted me. I shall no longer abide with thee, but shall go where I came from. O thou of beautiful thighs, I believe in my heart that the sun hath no power to set in the usual time, if I am asleep. An insulted person should never live where he hath met with the insult, far less should I, a virtuous person, or those that are like me. Jarakaru, the sister of Vasuki, thus addressed by our Lord, began to quake with terror, and she spake unto him, saying, O Brahmana, I have not wakened thee from desire of insult, but I have done it so that thy virtue may not sustain any loss. Right? So he's making the point here that the place where one is insulted, one doesn't live, right? So that's one should be, you know, careful of these things. The Rishi Jarakaru, great in ascetic merit, possessed with anger and desires of forsaking his spouse. Right? So in other words, he wanted to. His point is he's conceived a child, so therefore his job is done, and so now he actually wants to leave. So, thus spake unto his wife, saying, O thou fair one, never have I spoken a falsehood, therefore go I shall. This was also settled between ourselves. O amiable one, I have passed the time happily with thee, and O fair one, tell thy brother when I am gone that I have left thee. And upon my going away, it behooveth thee not to grieve for me. Right? Notice throughout this, he's still speaking very nicely and properly. Right? This is very important. So even though very strong things are being said, they're never to be spoken in an unpleasant way. Does that make sense? Yeah? Thus addressed, Jarakaru, the fair sister of Vasuki, of faultless features, filled with anxiety and sorrow, having mustered sufficient courage and patience, though her heart was still quaking, then spake unto Rishi Jarakaru. Her words were obstructed with tears, and her face was pale with fear, and the palms of her hands were joined together, and the eyes were bathed in tears. And she said, It behooveth thee not to leave me without a fault. Thou treadest over the path of virtue. I too have been in the same path, with heart fixed on the good of my relatives. O best of brahmanas, the object for which I was bestowed on thee hath not been accomplished yet. And fortunate that I am, what shall Vasuki say unto me? O excellent one, the offspring desired of by my relatives, afflicted by a mother's curse, do not yet appear. The welfare of my relatives dependeth upon the acquisition of offspring from thee. And in order that my connection with thee may not be fruitless, O illustrious Brahmana, moved by the desire of doing good to my race, I do entreat thee. O excellent one, high soul thou art, so why shalt thou leave me who am faultless? This is not just clear to me. Thus addressed, the Muni of great ascetic merit spake unto his wife, Jarakaru, these words that were proper and suitable to the occasion. And he said, O fortunate one, the being thou hast conceived, even like unto Agni himself, is a rishi of soul highly virtuous, and a master of the Vedas and their branches. Having said so, the great rishi, Jarakaru, of virtuous soul, went away, his heart firmly placed on practicing again the severest penances. So he made the point, her point was, is how can you go? Because, you know, the whole point of being married was is that there would be a son that would save her relatives and would save his relatives. And so he makes the point, no, that person is there. Right? Section 48. Sauti said, O thou of ascetic wealth, soon after her lord had left her, Jarakara went to her brother, and she told him everything that had happened. And the prince of snakes, hearing the calamitous news, spake unto his miserable sister, himself more miserable still. And he said, Thou knowest, O amiable one, the purpose of thy bestowal, the reason thereof. If from that union for the welfare of the snakes a son be born, then he, possessed of energy, will save us all from the snake sacrifice. The grandsire had said so, of old in the midst of the gods. O fortunate one, hast thou conceived from thy union with the best of rishis? My heart's desire is that my bestowal of thee on that wise one may not be fruitless. Truly it is not proper for me to ask thee about this, but from the gravity of the interests I ask thee this. In other words, it's not my business to ask, but just because the situation is so serious, therefore I'm asking. Knowing also the obstinacy of thy lord, ever engaged in severe penances, I shall not follow him, for he may curse me. Right? It means he's so fixed in his vows and he's very, you know, focused, that it won't be worth my while to go and follow after him, otherwise he may curse me. Right? So therefore, you know, he just wants to know what's going on. Tell me in detail all that thy lord, O amiable one, hath done, and exactly what terribly afflicting dart that lies implanted for a long time past in my heart. Oh, and extract that terribly afflicting dart that lies implanted for a long time past in my heart. Jarakaru thus addressed, consoling Vasuki, the king of the snakes, at length replied, saying, Asked by me about offspring, the high soul and mighty ascetic said, There is, and then he went away. There is in Sanskrit means astika. Right? So therefore the child that will be born will be called astika. I do not remember him to have ever before speak even in jest aught that is false. So means he said, I will go away if you insult me, you know. He said, you did that, so with my word, I will go away. And she's saying on the same strength of that same point is whatever he said is true. So if he said a child is there, then it must be there. Right? Does that make sense? Why should he, O king, speak a falsehood on such a serious occasion? He said, Thou shouldest not grieve, O daughter of the snake race, about the intended result of our union. A son shall be born to thee, resplendent as the blazing sun. O brother, having said this to me, my husband of ascetic wealth went away. Therefore let the deep sorrow cherished in thy heart disappear. Sauti continued, Thus addressed, Vasuki, the king of snakes, accepted those words of his sister and in great joy said, Be it so. And the chief of the snakes then adored his sister with great regards, gift of wealth, and fitting eulogies. Then, O best of brahmanas, the embryo endued with great splendor began to develop, like the moon in the heavens in the bright fortnight. And in due time the sister of the snakes, O brahmana, gave birth to a son of the splendor of a celestial child, who became the reliever of the fears of his ancestors and maternal relatives. The child grew up there in the house of the king of snakes. He studied the Vedas and their branches with the ascetic Chyavana, the son of Bhrigu. Okay, not bad. And though but a boy, his vows are rigid, and he was gifted with great intelligence, and with the several attributes of beauty, of virtue, knowledge, freedom from the world's indulgences, and saintliness. And the name by which he was known to the world was Astika. And he was known by the name of Astika, whoever is, because his father had gone to the woods saying, There is, when he was in the womb. But though but a boy, he had a great gravity and intelligence, and he was reared with great care in the palace of the snakes. And he was like the illustrious lord of the celestials, Mahadev of the golden form, the wielder of the trident, and he grew up day by day the delight of all the snakes. Right, so even though he's in the palace and that, then he learned great knowledge. He was still very intelligent, very austere, you know, very well behaved. all these different things, right? So that is possible. The environment is such that one can do that. Does that make sense? But he still is studying under the teacher, right? Does this make sense? So we can see from this, then these values given by the teacher is what is being practiced, even though he's living in the facilities of his home. Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay. Any other questions? Yes, no? Very good. No? Okay.
Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Jai.